How's it going? I must confess, every time you know, we have someone leading the message, and I look at the paper in the person's hand, and I see three pages, I get scared. I say it's going to be a long message. So you don't have to be scared, amen. It's just a page. It's gonna be briefly long. How are we doing, guys? Till, how are you doing? You're with old people today. It's good. How are we doing, guys? I know sufficient?
Decent,
okay. What about adjectives can express how you're feeling?
Tired.
Okay. Weekend. Tomorrow is Monday. Okay, he's tired. So who you there, right? You're under the weather. Okay. Okay. What does that mean?
Under the weather.
Motivated. Alright. Let's go. Vlad, how are you feeling?
Excited, man.
Amen. That's great. For me, this week is a mixture of, you know, a bit of sadness and a bit of joy. Last weekend, we lost my grand aunt, right? And this week, my mom lost two of our brothers.
Two.
You know, and I haven't met them before. I've heard one of them's voice because they're half brothers. So my mom's father was a great man. My grandfather was a great man. He had four wives. So my mom has a lot of half siblings. So I haven't met some of them. And my mom was, you know, sort of very discouraged, you know, and this week because she lost two of her brothers, you know, that she grew up with. And that was tough. Tough on the old woman for, you know, three losses in 1 week. You know, and so while I was sitting down, I was thinking about what to share. You know, my brain was like, you know, maybe I share, because I have a message, you know, about God's business. And I said, no, it's not your time. I don't want to do something too condensed, you know, like January. You know, and I was thinking about what to share. And I woke up early last night. You know, and there's a book I have. You know, so when I was 25-ish, you know, I started writing down my thoughts that I wanted my offspring to read when they get older. I stopped when I moved to Germany, but I went back to the book to just read the stuff I've written. It was interesting for me. And then I stumbled on a quote. So in the past, the sister I was building a relationship with, she was from Puerto Rico. And we're still friends till today. And, you know, there was a quote she wrote out for me, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Amen? Looking to God. The bigger picture. Amen? Mm-hmm. And in that quote, so I'm going to touch on 4 points. The first point is look back and thank God. Second point is look forward and trust God. Third point is look around and serve God. And the last point is look within and find God. Amen? Yes, we're going to do that. And before we start, let's pray. Our God Almighty, you know, a lot of times the week is so exhausting. You know, it's too much work. You know, parents thinking about kids. You know, thinking about extended family as well. And God, sometimes we get so distracted that's hard to look onto. But I pray, Father, that, you know, whatever I'm reading here, it might be from my wisdom in a mixture of, you know, your word. But I don't want it to be, Father, that I speak my words. I pray that you use me. You know, and then also use the children that they can also hear And Father, I just wish that just one thing sticks with each and everyone that's in this room, and it becomes a precipice, you know, for greater things to come that you, oh God, will do in their lives. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for the changing time. Thank you so much for the weather. We bless your holy name. Thank you for being good. Thank you for being just. For just my prayer. Amen.
Amen.
So my first point is look back and thank God. But before that, let's go to Hebrews 12, verse 1 to 3. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. It's a popular Hebrew scripture. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3 says, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw everything that hinders the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen?
Amen.
I think for me, one of the most important part of this scripture is fixing our eyes on Jesus. And fixing means literally putting your eyes and fixing it on Jesus. That's the cartoon way of understanding fixing. I mean, normally you would say like this, tunnel vision, right? And so my first question for everyone this morning is, do you remember who you were before God? Do you remember who you were before God? Before meeting God, before getting in this love relationship with God, do you remember who you were? So for me, it's a hard question. It's a hard question for me. It's going to be a hard question for Till. It's going to be a hard question for me and Till in this room. You know why? Because when you are a kingdom kid, you don't remember who you were before meeting God. Because you were born into a home where God was introduced in, amen? And so for me, my journey has been to remember my filth while I am in God. Amen? And so sometimes I look back at my life and I look back at my mistakes to see how God has transformed me to where I am now. And what that does is it brings us a grateful heart. Amen? Do we sit down and we think, man, who was I before Christ? And do we then contrast to say, because I don't know about everyone here, but in finance, what we use to evaluate performance is we compare quarter against quarter figures. And we compare year against year figures. Right? And so, are we sitting down sometimes to say, man, who was Mariana before Christ? You know, who was Femi before Christ? Who was Clara before Christ? Are we sitting down and asking ourselves that question? You know, one of the reasons why the Bible makes sense is because you read the Bible from the beginning and you're getting to the end of a story. So, for example, when you read Gideon, you read Gideon from the beginning and you read to the end of the story. Right? But everyone here, if we're writing a story or a Bible and scripture about you, the story is not complete. Amen? The story is not complete. We understand, right, God's beautiful canvas when we look at the present, the past, the present, and the future. Amen? And so we can't establish that none of us can see the future, amen? I mean, we get sometimes a dream, right? But none of us can see the future. So all we can see is the past and our present. So meaning, there is a distorted view of who God is in our lives. Am I making sense? So I want to explain it better. This is a whiteboard. This is on. And then we come and the color is blue, pink, orange. And we put it, and that's the color of the past. Blue, pink, orange, sprinkled over the board. Can you understand the painting of Omo yet? And then I come and I put the present, white and black. And I sprinkle it. Is the full picture still there? But you only can be able to understand God's intention for Omo when you add the future, which is maybe purple, lilac, I don't know, velvet, or I don't know whatever color is there. And so, you know, my question is, are we looking back? Are we looking at where God has brought us from? Spiritually, I don't know about you guys, but for me, you know, in the past 6-7 years, I can look at my life and I wouldn't say it was my brilliance. I would say it's God. Let's open Psalm 77. It's one of my favorite psalms in the Bible. I love this psalm. Psalm 77. I love this psalm. It's by Asaph. You know, the psalm by Asaph. It says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I could not be comforted. I remember you, God, and I groaned and meditated. My spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was still struggling to speak. And this is the part I love. It says, then I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remember my songs in the night. My heart meditated and my spirit asked, will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his right hand, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Amen. I don't know about you guys, but I've been here where we pray and we pray and we pray, and it feels like God is not answering. And in your mind, you're looking towards God, and God is not answering. But what about the God of the past? What about the God of the past? So when you sit down and you then say, God, I want to think about what you've done for me, then you realize, God has blessed me so much. There's a lot to be grateful for. Amen? Amen? But if you're not looking at the right things, brothers and sisters, you're going to get discouraged. If you're not looking at the right things, you're not going to understand the God you serve. This week, I've had to use the scripture of 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 to encourage 3 to 4 persons. And I tell you for a fact, the scripture stands out to me because when I was a teenager, like till, I shared with Andre in the week, I said, my father put out a big paper, a big poster in front of our door. And he wrote, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And as a teenager, that sounded so easy. Amen? Amen. To give thanks in all circumstances, for this is Christ, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, is easy. Why? Because I don't have to wake up and worry about food. I don't have to wake up to worry about bills. My life is easy. So I'm like, God, thank you for my parents. You know, thank you for everything that's happening. I'm just joyful. But when you become an adult, it's tough.
Yeah.
This week I lost a classmate from my university. She was sick for a while. You know, I was grateful to God for her life. Because it wasn't easy for me, man. But I can say for a fact that giving thanks in all circumstances as an adult is difficult. When you have kids that have bad character, so I'm thinking about myself and my mom, because I wasn't the most, you know, amazing kid, amen? And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, how do you give thanks in those type of situations? How do you give thanks for your boss if your boss is annoying? You know? Brothers and sisters, we need to sit down and ask, where has God brought me from? Amen? We need to be grateful for our pain and our suffering. Amen? When we look at the past, there's a lot of pain. Sometimes you don't want to look back because I don't want to feel. There's a lot of pain in the past. There's a lot of disappointment in the past when I look at it. I feel like, God, I've disappointed you in this place and that place. But I need to be grateful for that pain, because I know that the armor you see now comes from that journey. Amen? Mm-hmm. So we need to sit down and ask God, you know, what do you want? What are you trying to teach me? Because some of the lessons that we need to learn in the present, God has been teaching us in the past. Amen? I don't know if it's self-control. I don't know if it's love. I don't know what it is that God is trying to teach you. But you can realize that He's teaching you something if I'm sitting down to focus on the past. Amen? The past contains knowledge. And the past can grow your faith. My next point, look forward and trust God. Amen? Now, I don't want you to go sit down at home after this and say, I'm going to focus on the past and get drenched in it. Amen? The past is only to learn. But there is something to look forward to. Look forward and trust God. Brothers and sisters, how deep is your trust in God? I'm not saying this because I perfected it, you know. Sometimes I'm in the shower and I'm like, God, I just want a kid. I just want a child, God. And I say, God, I don't have faith. I'm losing faith, Father. I'm losing trust. So I'm not going to come here and say, I have this faith in, you know. No. Sometimes I lose trust in God. Sometimes my family, we do. You know. But are we looking towards God for situations? Let's turn to Philippians 3, verse 13 to 14. Amen. Philippians 3, verse 13 to 14. Philippians 3, so Philippi, 3, 13 is 13. It says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Amen? So no one is saying, go to your past and feel trapped by it. Amen? Go to your past and learn. Go to your past and be convicted. Go to your past and understand knowledge. But that knowledge should lead you to trust in God. Amen? Because at the end, nothing separates each and every one of us from this, in this room, from our ancestors in the wilderness, amen? Or from the Israelites in the wilderness. Nothing separates us from them if we're not learning from the past. Because the Israelites, every time they were in a pickle, they forgot the God that just saved them. Amen? And every time, Moses, what do we do? Moses, what do we do? Literally losing their minds. I'm thinking about Moses every time. We look at the scripture and we say Moses has a temper. I'm like, well, I don't know about you guys, but leading how many thousand people and everybody's just nagging, complaining. Nobody sees the picture. Nobody's motivated. I don't know about you, but I will lose it once or twice. You know, I'll be like, shut up, everybody. We're going to cross this sea, and that's it. Right? So, if you don't read and understand the past, you're going to be like the Israelites in the wilderness. Where any little thing comes, and you're shaken by your faith. You know, in our Bible talk on Tuesday, we read about the centurion, you know, and how he understood the authority of Jesus. And he just said, just say it will be done. Because he trusted and he understood authority. Brothers and sisters, do you trust your God? I don't know what the prayer might be. Maybe it's transformation in your family. Maybe it's prayer of your personal faith. Maybe it is about work. Maybe it's about your evangelism. Maybe it's about the church. Do you trust that God can transform and God can change? We're always in solution mode. Something is wrong, there's a solution. Do it. Something is wrong, there's a solution. Do it. There is no problem in that. Amen? The Bible says God has given us everything we need for life and godliness, right? So we have everything we need. But it's also not bad to look up to God and say, God, I want to do this. I know you've given me the power to do this. Just give me the strength to continue to do this. And then when you do it, you remember to say, God, thank you for this. You know, I remember one time a friend asked me, do you feel regretful about the past? And I said, no. I said, if everything turned out the way it would have turned out with my family, I would have been a very arrogant person. You know, I would have been a very arrogant person. And then when I was, I don't know, 1, 2 years old, my father already had a roadmap of how his kids were going to go to either Oxford or Harvard. And I'm just looking at my life and who I am. And if I went to Oxford or Harvard, I would walk like this. You know? And in that time, my father was an atheist, amen? My father didn't believe in God. And my father is, till today, one of my biggest role models. So if he didn't believe in God, there's no way I'm believing God, amen? So when my friend asked me, I said, then I wouldn't have met you as well. And I've learned a lot from you as well. So I'm not sad about the past. I trust God because I'm understanding my past better. Let's turn to Habakkuk 3, verse 2. I love this scripture. I'm giving you a lot of scriptures, man. Love this scripture. Habakkuk 3, verse 2. What's Habakkuk in German? Habakkuk is Habakkuk. In Russian? Avakum, okay. Avakum. Lots of cooking here. Which? So, verse 2. Habakkuk 3. Yeah. Verse 2. I love this. Lord, I've heard of your fame. Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your good deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day. In our time, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. This is amazing. Amen? This is amazing. This is a mind-blowing prayer. He says, God, I'm looking at your CV. I'm seeing what you can do. So I know you can do this. But just repeat them in our day. How deep is your trust, church, in God? Is your hope in Jesus? Or is your hope in your savings? Oh, I have a mortgage. Oh, I have savings. I tell you the truth. If you get sick and you have to visit the hospital, your savings is gone. Amen. I tell my wife, I said, it's good to save, but I want you to understand, if our parents were ill, and it was chronically a strong illness they needed, I don't know. I saw this week, I saw someone needed $20,000 for surgery. I said, so if all our parents were ill at the same time, $20,000, $20,000, $20,000, $20,000, that's $80,000. I don't know how much you think you have. That's $80,000. It's gone. Where's your hope in? Is it in the German system? You know, I was saying in the Bible talk on Tuesday, I said, sometimes we feel like if we lose our jobs, there's something to fall back on. And so that puts you in a space where you're not, your trust is not in God. It's that I will get unemployment benefits if I don't get employed. And then I told my wife, I said, when they were talking about downsizing my company, I was like, that's where my brain went to first. And I said, that is wrong. That is so wrong of me that I will put my trust in the system created by man and not in God. And I had to tell myself, man, I need to shift my mind. And I'm not saying that sometimes I don't still feel like it's there, but I have to pull myself back to say, who is my trust in? Is my trust in society or system, or is my trust in God, that God will use anything to glorify His name, regardless? You know, Jeremiah in Lamentations 3, verse 21 to 22, or 22 to 23, he looks at Israel being destroyed and he sees a bigger picture. It's that God is faithful. Jeremiah doesn't know how Jerusalem will be built again, but all he knows is God is faithful. Amen? So we gotta ask, do you have scriptures in your life when you pray that reminds you that you can trust God? Amen? Do you have scriptures in your life that reminds you, I can trust God? I'll tell you one of mine. Isaiah 41 verse 10. Isaiah 41, 10. So when I was at home after university, you know, me and my father used to clash a lot. Amen. There was two men in the house. There's so much testosterone, and so everyone is like, my father's like, he's boss, and I'm like, no, I'm boss. And then we just kept on clashing. And I remember this scripture because there was a brother who showed me this scripture in church, and it became my part of my prayer point. It says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not dismay, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do you have scriptures like this, brothers and sisters? Amen. We gotta have scriptures like this that reminds our spirits and our mind who to trust in. Amen. And you can have for your reference Psalm 56, verse 3 to 4. Amen. Third point, look around and serve God. Amen. Look around and serve God. Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 24. Now, there are many ways to focus on God. We can focus on God in our relationships, in our marriages, in our friendships. But I'm just taking out these four because I think it's important. Amen. Hebrews 10:23-24. This is a scripture, you know, when people were not coming to church, you know, and you ain't seen them for like 2 weeks or 2 months, and then you just go all that time and you're like, bro, this is just serious, this, you know. And sometimes we do it without being kind, amen? You know, but in Hebrews 10, verse 23 to 24, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. So remember now, trust. He who promised is faithful. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up the meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, bless you, and all more as you see the day approaching. You know. And just remember, I said, bless you. At work, a colleague sneezed, and I said, bless you. And she sneezed again, and I said, Gesundheit. And I said, I just forgot, your brain, it didn't click. Bless you, Gesundheit is better. So that's why I said Gesundheit, and then she didn't sneeze again. So bro, maybe you need to tell me what bless you is in Russian. So I say it, and you know, it clicks.
Ukrainian.
In Ukrainian, amen. What's your attitude towards serving? Amen. What's your attitude towards serving? I remember we used to come early, you know, back home in Nigeria to clean the church, clean the chairs, clean the floor. You know, sometimes we'd be 1 hour to the service because we had a rental, and it used to be always messy because someone did an event the day before and they didn't bother to clean it. And we would come 1 hour before time, and everyone is sweating before the service because it was a lot of work. And sometimes I would grumble. I would grumble. And that's a bad attitude. It's worth serving. I remember when I used to drum a lot when I was home. I used to drum in the church. And I started drumming when I was 9. So I would drum in the church, and I got very pompous at the point. You know, and I'd just be drumming, and I just have this bad manner towards it. And someone was like, you need to stop drumming for a while. Because it's part of service to God. How's your heart towards service? If you have a bad attitude towards service, you need to ask yourself a question. Why am I serving in the first place? Because everything we're doing it to glorify God. Amen. So if you feel like, you know, I don't like doing this, I don't like doing that, then you need to ask your heart, why am I doing this in the first place? How's your heart for those who sing? How's your heart towards singing? You know? How's your heart? You know? I remember then, you know, you sing, and then you had a sin to confess, you know, and then someone's like, bro, why did you sing if your heart is so heavy? You know? But how's our singing? Sometimes I tell my wife, I say, I don't want to sing today because I feel like I don't want it to be entertaining. Because singing shouldn't be entertaining. It should be to glorify God. It should be that even if you have, I don't know, a frog's voice, that it brings glory to God. You know? And God just has a way of, even if your voice is, blah, 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 everyone can be encouraged. I've had those days where my voice is like, yes, and everyone's encouraged. But at the times where I'm like, my voice is a bit not too, and everyone's encouraged. You know, because at the end, you know, God works in weaknesses. So, but that is our heart towards serving. That's our heart towards loving our neighbors. Say, I hope I'm not boring you. Are you bored? How's our heart towards serving our neighbors? You know, back home in Christmas, in my grandmom's place, people would cook and bring a bowl of food and give it to each and every neighborhood. I think I've said this before, like, your house, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 houses close to you, you would take a whole food, and you go there, and like, this is what we cook. And so as a kid, I had experience, man. We know the houses where it's like, they're more, you know, the food is not so great, amen? And so there was a woman, you know, that she used to cook, she was a food vendor. Every time Christmas, that woman's food was the best to get finished. But it was encouraging for me as a child, you know? How's your heart towards serving? You know? Colossians 3, verse 16 to 17, as I close this point because of time. Colossians 3, verse 16 to 17. 16, it says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs in the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Amen? Serving is a hard thing. When you give to Paul, it's the heart. You know? I remember one time my mom was like, we need to do something in the family. And I said, Mom, I can't do it now. And she said, why? Because we're supposed to give financially. I said, my heart isn't right. I said, until my heart is right and I find the right reason, I'm not doing this. Because if I do it, it's only to fulfill all righteousness. And I don't want my giving to be like that. It's okay if you cannot serve in one aspect of the church. Amen? There are many ways you can serve. And it doesn't have to be solely in the church. You can serve in your neighborhood. You can serve at work. You can serve in the train. But just have the mentality that, God, I'm looking unto you, and I want to serve. And God, reveal it in my heart where you want me to serve. Amen? My last point. Look within and find God. Amen? Look within and find God. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11. 1 Chronicles 16, 11. But we still know how to turn our physical Bibles. Because these days, with the technology, you know, one can forget. Amen?
Verse
11. 16, 11. Look to the Lord and His strength. Seek His face always. This is the hard part. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when I want to pray, that's when I get so distracted. I'm praying, and then before you know it, I'm thinking about, is she okay? Or I'm thinking about my parents, are they fine? I'm praying, and before you know, I'm thinking, should I eat spaghetti or should I just eat rice? I don't know about you, but it happens to me. It's a lot of distraction, because I feel like the evil one doesn't want me to see God's face. How much of God's face are we seeking? Amen? How much of His face are we seeking? Do you feel God cannot be found? Sometimes you feel like that. The last time God revealed Himself was to the apostles. I don't believe that. Amen? I think God still reveals Himself to us. The only question is, do we want to see and experience and feel God? Because we want it tangible. And we want it in a certain way and a certain time. God, if you're with me, I just want the sun to come up and go off. Okay? It's not coming and it's not going off. God, you're not with me. We want it a specific way, a specific time, a specific place, and how. So do you feel that God can no longer reveal Himself to you? And sometimes it's sin in our hearts. You know? Sometimes we feel not worthy to seek God's face. But the question is, when were you ever worthy? You know, every time my mind is like, I'm not worthy, please explain to me, when was I worthy? Then I look back at my past and I'm like, nope, definitely no. Nope. So I've never been worthy. And so every time the devil is trying to tell me that I'm not worthy, I'm like, oh, well, I've never been worthy. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 to 14. Love that scripture. Jeremiah 29. One day we're going to do this competition, you know, where people bring out their Bibles and it's like a first to shoot, right? And we'll bring out a random verse. And everyone has to have their physical Bible. And then we say the scripture. And then it's the first person that reads the scripture that gets 5 points. One day we're going to do it again, because everyone has to fold out. We're going to do it again, amen? But Jeremiah 29, verse 13 to 14, it says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I banished you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I have carried you into exile." So, literally, the Bible is saying, seek God with all your heart. It's insane in Matthew, right? In Matthew 5 or Matthew 6? I think it's Matthew 6. Where it says, seek the Lord, you know, and every other thing will be added on to you. Yeah, Matthew 6. Correct. So, are we seeking God with all our hearts? Are we looking within to find God? Are we asking God, God, what do you think? You know, in James 1, verse 5, James says, if any of you feel you are lacking something, ask God, and he will give it to you. So do you feel like you're a bad boss? Ask God. God, I don't feel like I'm doing the best job as a boss, or as a, in German, as a chef. Do you feel like you're a bad parent? Do you feel like you're a bad spouse? Do you feel like you're a bad friend? Do you feel like you're not bold? Do you feel like you're too anxious? The Bible says if you really ask God, God, this is how I'm feeling, please help me. It says God will reveal himself to you. Are you suffering from addiction? This week I found out that one can be addicted to Coca-Cola. Amen. And that's possible. You can be addicted to Coca-Cola. So on an average you drink 7 to 8, 9, 10, 20 cans of Coke a day. That's an addiction. You can be addicted to bread. I found out this week. You can be like, if I don't eat bread this morning, I'll just die. That's an addiction, you know? So whatever it is, ask God. Amen. And you know, in Psalm 139, you can look at that as a reference, 23 to 24. I love what David says in that psalm. He says, "Search me and know my heart. Look deep into my envious thoughts. Sift through any offense I cling to, and Lord, lead me in the way everlasting." So and the truth is, when you look inside, that's when you find out, I don't like this person. And then your spirit is like, why don't you like this person? Fix it. And you're like, you know? So look in, amen, and find God. So at the end, you know, concluding now, why do we then need to look to God? You see, when you look to God, you have a more grateful heart. Amen? You have a very grateful heart. You know, God, thank you for all you've done for me. Not just the physical, but the spiritual part. You start to see your family and you see the distinction of how God has transformed your home. And you see the difference between your normal home and what could be abnormal in today's world. You become more obedient when you look to God. Amen? You become more obedient because you're asking God, God, what is the instruction? It is not, God, this is my instruction. And then you try everything out, it doesn't work, and then you go back and say, God, I need your help. You know? You have more of the fruit of the Spirit. Because looking to God, God will reveal what is wrong in you that you can change from. Amen? Evangelism becomes better. And so for me too, it means I'm also not looking within. Salvation. Because Jesus put his eyes towards who? God. And it says we should focus on Jesus, who is the perfecter of our faith, who is our high priest, according to Hebrews 4. And your personal growth and development, you then see it as God-given and not that you've constructed it by your hand. Amen? So, you know, I said a lot, you know, but I want to sing a song, you know, as I round up. I love this song. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing. I will sing. What a mercy that I am in the church, forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness through all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, forever I will sing. I will sing. What a mercy that I'm in the church, forever I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. I pray, church, you know, that at the end, that people will listen to us and all they can hear is a merciful God. Amen? Amen. And to his name be glorified. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to pray for the communion.
Can you do a song before?
Yeah, do we have
a song? Yeah.
Perfect.
Danke, Herr, dass du dich
ist heute nicht da. Ich würde den Gedanken von Romo gerne aufgreifen, weil das Kreuz hat auch Aspekte aus der Vergangenheit, Aspekte aus der Gegenwart und Aspekte aus der Zukunft. Und ich würde dazu gerne eine Bibelstelle vorlesen aus 2. Petrus 1. Und in 2. Petrus 1, da fängt Petrus an, dass wir in unserem Leben Selbsterkenntnis und diese Dinge hinzufügen sollen, Ehrfurcht und so weiter. Und am Ende steht die Liebe, die wir tun sollen. Und dann sagt er ab Vers 8, denn wenn das alles, also all diese Dinge, Standhaftigkeit, Ehrfurcht und so weiter, wenn das bei euch vorhanden ist und ständig zunimmt, wird euer Glaube nicht untätig und nicht unfruchtbar bleiben. Und ihr werdet Jesus Christus, unserem Herrn, immer besser kennenlernen. Doch wer das alles nicht hat, der ist so kurzsichtig, dass er wie ein Blinder im Dunkeln herumtappt. Ein solcher Mensch hat vergessen, dass er vom Schmutz seiner früheren Sündigen gereinigt wurde. Deshalb, liebe Geschwister, setzt erst recht alles daran, eure Berufung und Erwählung durch ein entsprechendes Leben zu bestätigen. Wenn ihr das tut, werdet ihr vor jedem Fehltritt bewahrt werden. Und der Zugang zum ewigen Reich unseres Herrn und Retters Jesus Christus wird euch weit offen stehen. Und ja, ich mag diese Stelle irgendwo so, die so mittendrin steht. Naja, wenn das alles irgendwie nicht da ist, dann habt ihr vergessen, dass eure Schuld vergeben wurde. Also das, was früher war, da war die Schuld und dann kam Jesus und hat uns vergeben. Das liegt in der Vergangenheit, aber wir sollen es nicht vergessen. Und jetzt in der Gegenwart, wir sollen unser Leben entsprechend auch gestalten, ne, dem würdig. Aber dann auch so die Zukunft, was dann daraus folgt. Ja, unser Glaube wird nicht untätig bleiben, aber vor allen Dingen auch, und ihr werdet Jesus Christus immer besser kennenlernen. Also Zukunft. Und der Zugang zum ewigen Reich unseres Herrn und Retters wird euch weit offen stehen. Lasst uns beten. Großer Gott, ja, es tat gut zu hören von Romo. Ja, bei mir geht das auch oft so, dass ich denke, ja, und die Gebete und auch das alles irgendwie so oft, dass es nicht beantwortet wurde. Aber Romo hat recht, wenn ich in die Vergangenheit gucke. Und letztendlich gehört ja nicht nur meine eigene Vergangenheit dazu, sondern davor auch, du hast so viel getan in der Geschichte. Und ja, du bist ein Gott, der zu seinen Zusagen steht, und endlich danke dir dafür. Und ich möchte vor allen Dingen danken, dass du unser Leben, so wie es war, du hast uns die Dinge vergeben, die wir getan haben. Und immer wieder aufs Neue vergibst du uns, wenn wir zu dir kommen und sagen, ja, es tut uns leid. Und ja, ich möchte beten dafür, hilf du uns, dass wir nicht vergessen, du sagst auch zu den Israeliten damals schon, ja, und wenn es dann euch gut geht, und ihr in euren Häusern wohnt und ihr genug zu essen habt, vergesst nicht, wie das alles zustande gekommen ist. Es kommt alles von dir. Und so auch für uns heute. Uns geht es heute gut. Wir haben eine Hoffnung in uns auf den Himmel. Wir haben ein befreites Leben. Frei. Du vergibst uns nicht nur die Sünde, sondern du machst uns auch frei davon, dass wir ja, auch von diesen ganzen Abhängigkeiten, die vielleicht in uns stecken, dass du uns davon frei machst, ein freies Leben zu führen. Und das ist so etwas Besonderes. Ich danke dir dafür. Hilf du uns, das nicht zu vergessen. Und ja, daran möchten wir uns erinnern, was du für uns getan hast mit dem Abendmahl. Das Blut, was uns immer wieder aufs Neue reinwäscht. Und ja, das Brot, dein Leib, den du für uns gegeben hast. Und ja, dafür bete ich. Amen.
Amen.